One evening, not 3 months ago, Lionel Wallace told me the story of the door in the wall. He was still a year short of 40, and they say now he would have been in the new cabinet had he lived. I forget now what chance criticism of mine moved him to confide in me. "I know I've been negligent," he said. "The fact is, I am haunted." Then he began to tell of the thing that was hidden in his life. The haunting memory of a beauty and a happiness that filled his heart with insatiable longings. To him, at least, the door in the wall was a real door, leading to immortal realities. It came into his life quite early. His mother died when he was 2. His father was a stern, preoccupied lawyer who gave him little attention, and one day he wandered. He could not recall the course he took, but as his memory ran, he did at the very first sight of the white wall and the green door experience an attraction, a desire to open the door and walk in. At the same time, he had the clearest conviction that it was unwise or wrong to yield to this attraction, and that his father would be angry if he went in through that door. So he went right past. He recalls a number of mean and dirty shops, and he stood pretending to examine things in the windows, all the time coveting, passionately desiring the green door. Then he said he made a run for it, through the green door, and in a trice he came into the garden that has haunted all his life. There was something in the very air made its colour clean and perfect and luminous. "There were 2 great panthers," he said, "and I was not afraid. These 2 huge velvety beasts came right up to me, rubbed their soft round ears gently against the hand I held out, and purred. It was, I tell you, an enchanted garden. And somehow it was just like coming home. In fact, there was a keen sense of homecoming in my mind. There were broad red steps, I remember, between spikes of delphinium, and a great avenue of old and shady dark trees. Then I came to a spacious, cool palace, full of beautiful things and the promise of heart's desire. Playmates I found there. That was very much to me, because I was a lonely little boy. Presently, there came a somber, dark woman with a grave, pale face and took me with her. She took me to a seat to look at a book upon her knee. I looked, marvelling, for it was a story about myself. The pages of that book were not pictures, you understand, but realities. People moved, and things came and went in them, all the familiar things of home. The front door and the busy streets, and so at last I came to myself, hesitating outside the green door in the long white wall, and felt again the conflict and the fear. "Annex," I cried, and would have turned the page, but the cool hand of the grave woman delayed me. But the next page did not show the enchanted garden. It showed a grey street in West Kensington, and I was there, a wretched little figure, weeping aloud, weeping because I could not return to my dear playfellows who had called after me, "Come back to us, come back to us soon." This was no page in a book, but harsh reality. Poor little wretch I was, brought back to this grey world again. As I realized, I gave way to quite ungovernable grief. Naturally, there followed a terrible questioning by my aunt, my father, the nurse, the governess, everyone. I tried to tell them, and my father gave me my first thrashing for telling lies. When afterwards I tried to tell my aunt, she punished me again for my persistence. Everyone was forbidden to listen to me. Even my fairy tale books were taken away from me because I was too imaginative. Yes. My father belonged to the old school. So my story was driven back upon myself. I whispered it to my pillow, that was often damp and salt with childish tears. I asked an obvious question. "No," he said, "I don't remember that I ever attempted to find my way back in those early years. I think that very probably a closer watch was kept on my movements to prevent my going astray. No, it wasn't till you knew me that I tried for the garden again. We were at school together at St. Athelstan's College in West Kensington. He looked up with a sudden smile. Did you ever play Northwest Passage? The idea was the discovery of a Northwest Passage to school. The way to school was plain enough. The game consisted in finding some way that wasn't plain. Starting off 10 minutes early, in some almost hopeless direction, and working your way round through unaccustomed streets. And one day, I passed a row of frowsy little shops that were inexplicably familiar to me. And behold, there was the green door that led to the enchanted garden. I suppose my second experience with the green door marks the world of difference between the infinite leisure of a child and the busy life of a schoolboy. I got to school breathless but in time, went right by the green door and left it behind me. Of course, I didn't know then that it wouldn't always be there. I went back later, but I didn't find it.
You mean?
I mean, I couldn't find it. I remember how I sneaked home and upstairs to hide the marks of my blubbering. I had bad times after that, crying at night and wool gathering by day. For a time, Wallace stared silently into the fire. Then he said, I never saw it again until I was 17. It leapt upon me as I was driving to Paddington on my way to Oxford and a scholarship. I was leaning over the apron of my hansom, smoking a cigarette, no doubt thinking myself no end of a man of the world, and suddenly there was the door, the wall, the dear sense of unforgettable and still unattained things. I was too taken by surprise to stop my cab. Well, I got my scholarship, and the night after I was told of that, I sat over my fire in the study, in my father's house, with his praise, his rare praise, ringing in my ears. And I smoked my favourite pipe, the formidable bulldog of adolescence, and thought of that door in the long white wall. If I had stopped, I thought, I should have missed my scholarship, muddled all the fine career before me. I saw another door opening, the door of my career. Wallace remained for a time, staring into the fire. Years of hard work after that, and never a sight of the door. It's only recently it has come back to me. Perhaps I'm suffering a little from overwork. Perhaps it is what I've heard spoken of as the feeling of 40. I don't know. But I do begin to find life toilsome. Its rewards, as I come near them, cheap. I began a little while ago to want the garden quite badly. And I've seen it 3 times.
The garden?
No, the door. And I haven't gone in. Thrice I've had my chance. Thrice. 3 times in 1 year I have passed by that door and failed to enter. 3 times in the last year. The first time was on the night of the snatch division on the Tenants' Redemption Bill, on which the government was saved by a majority of 3, you remember? I and Hotchkiss were dining with his cousin at Brentford. We got in barely in time, and on the way we passed my wall and door. My God, I cried.
What? Said Hotchkiss.
Nothing, I answered, and the moment passed. The next occasion was as I rushed to my father's bedside to bid that stern old man farewell. Then, too, the claims of life were imperative. But the third time was different. It happened a week ago. It fills me with remorse to recall it. I was with Gurkha and Ralphs. We had been dining at Frobisher's, and the question of my place in the reconstructed ministry lay always just over the boundary of the discussion. And then it was that I became aware once more of the white wall, the green door before us down the road. We passed it, talking. I passed it. I passed within 20 inches of the door. If I say good night to them and go in, I ask myself, what will happen? Amazing disappearance of a prominent politician. 1,000 inconceivably petty worldlinesses weighed with me in that crisis. He turned on me with a sorrowful smile. Here I am, he said, and my chance has gone from me. 3 times in 1 year, the door has been offered me, the door that goes into peace, into delight, into a beauty beyond dreaming, a kindness no man on earth can know.
and I have rejected it, and it has gone. I have success, this vulgar, tawdry, irksome, envied thing. I have it. He had a walnut in his big hand. If that was my success, he said, and crushed it. Let me tell you something, Redmond. This loss is destroying me. My soul is full of unappeasable regrets. At night, when it is less likely I shall be recognized, I go out. I wander about. I wonder what people would think of that if they knew. A cabinet minister, the responsible head of that most vital of all departments, wandering alone, grieving for a door, for a garden. I see him very vividly tonight. Last evening's Westminster Gazette still lies on the sofa, containing the notice of his death. They found his body very early yesterday morning in a deep excavation near East Kensington Station. It is protected from the intrusion of the public by a hoarding in which a small doorway has been cut. Did the pale electric lights near the station cheat the rough planking into a semblance of white? Did that fatal unfastened door awaken some memory? Was there, after all, ever any green door in the wall at all? I do not know. You may think me foolish, but I am more than half convinced that he had, in truth, an abnormal gift, and a sense, something I know not what, that in the guise of a wall and a door, offered him an outlet, an escape into another and altogether more beautiful world. You will say it betrayed him in the end. But did it betray him? There you touch the inmost mystery of these dreamers, these men of vision and the imagination. We see our world fair and common, the hoarding and the pit. By our daylight standard, he walked out of security into darkness, danger, and death. But did he see like that?